Normally the choir sings now, but they have a beautiful communion piece that they're going to share with us a little later. And so we listen to the words every year. We have scripture laid out for us. I don't always follow a little lectionary, but we decided this year to focus on the Hebrew Bible, what we sometimes call the Old Testament. And this, we begin, if anybody wants to follow the scripture readings, they're online, they're in lots of places, but we go through cycles. So we go through the A cycle, the B cycle, the C cycle of lectionary readings, and then we start the cycle all over again. This year, today, we start in the A cycle of lectionary readings. And so we hear from the prophet Isaiah and what he saw and what he imagined to be the future of the community. Let's hear from Isaiah. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." May God help us to take to heart this word from his holy scripture. 28 more sleeps until Christmas. For some of you, your stomachs just leapt for joy, and some just leapt in panic. Do you remember the days when you used to do that? Maybe some of us still do that, but you know, that's 13 days until my birthday. Or 3 days until summer holidays. Or 65 days until I retire. I heard that this week at Presbytery. There is something about those momentous happenings in our lives that makes us count the days until the big event arrives. You know, we say things like, "I can't wait." But we have no choice. We have to wait. We're forced to. But there's something about that anticipation that makes the event itself even more delicious. Anticipation is part of the experience. The excitement and anticipation of something special coming our way. Waiting is important. In a world of instant gratification, we really find it hard to wait these days. If we have to wait a minute or two to download something on our phones or our computers, we get antsy these days. We have forgotten that it's the waiting itself that enhances the experience, the event itself. It's the waiting that allows us to dream and hope and imagine what might happen, what surprises await, what adventures are just around the corner for us. Waiting allows us to prepare. It doesn't mean, though, that we're idle, sitting around for something to happen to us. The in-between moments are opportunities for action, to work toward that which we have imagined and hoped for. We don't wait for holidays. We plan and prepare for them. We don't wait for a birthday. We dream and get excited for them. We don't wait for the baby to arrive. We make arrangements for their arrival. It's Advent, the season of waiting and anticipation. It is the time when we prepare for something. We don't know what it is, but we prepare for something special to happen, something extraordinary. It's time to prepare for the party. It's an invitation to come into that special time when we hope for good things to happen, for God to be revealed one more time in the darkness. It could be said that our scriptures, both Hebrew and Christian, are writings that ground us, for the most part, in both waiting and in anticipation. The Jewish or Hebrew scriptures point to a day not yet here, but in the scriptures they're usually referred to as the day of the Lord. The passage that I just read from Isaiah, and there are many of them found in the prophets, but this one gives us a vision of a time when it says, all will go, all peoples will go to the mountain of the Lord. This is Isaiah's vision of what the kingdom of God is. It is the mountain of the Lord. And it says, and I love this passage, a very famous one, and it says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. All agricultural visions, we will all work to feed each other and care for each other. And it says, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither will they ever learn war. This is his vision of what the future looks like. And there are many such passages in the Hebrew Bible, giving us a vision of a reality not yet here, but one which we dream of. It is a vision of peace and of harmony. And it doesn't, note, suggest that there is one nation under God. It suggests that there are many nations living and working together for the good of all. In our Christian scriptures over Advent, or any time, we read of the great mystery of a child born in Bethlehem in whom we see God and who becomes for us a Savior, one who is born to show us salvation. In Christ, we place our expectation, our faith, our hope. At Christmas, we expect something to come. What? What is it that we expect to happen nearly 2,000 years after this child's birth? Why recall this dated historical event at this time of the year, or at any time of the year for that matter? I think it's because we still have hope. We haven't yet given up in this cynical, rational culture the anticipation of a world in which love can ultimately overcome fear and hatred and death, and all creation can live into a vision of God's great story of saving grace. Today is the day in the season of Advent that we call hope. It is a hope that defies the current skepticism that we find in the world today that says it's just never going to get better. That peace and love are best left to the optimists who are really out of touch with reality. Best that we just set the bar a little lower, to settle for what is rather than what could be. If that was the case, we can get up and walk out of this building right now. We'd have to abandon our faith. For faith is trust in the possibility that God can and will transform us and all creation into something magnificent. Is this what we believe? Is this the nature of our hope? Here's the thing about hope. As I was thinking about it this week, hope, by its very nature, means that we will live out a kind of deliberate emptiness, a chosen realization that what we hope for has not yet happened. Hope means that what might be in the future, I have not yet seen. But I keep hoping for it. Fulfillment of our hopes is yet to come. We cannot demand it. We can only wait for it. Keep the possibilities open. Open to grace and a future determined only by God, not by us. So we are in the season of waiting. And we stay awake, expectant, anticipating the great, beautiful, amazing, mysterious gift yet to be given to us and to all creation. There are other words we could use for Advent. Stay awake, aware, alive, attentive, alert. Christ has already come. Christ is with us, and yet Christ is still to come. This is one of the mysteries of our faith. When we demand that something happen on our terms, we are abandoning our trust and our hope. Trying to make something happen in our time. When we demand of each other satisfaction, when we demand that situations and people cater to our image of how things should be, when we ask for others to live up to our expectations, we behave in ways that will take away, and to behave in ways that will take away our anxiety and dissatisfaction, our fears and our frustration, we are refusing to wait, to hope that change can come about in God's time. We need to trust God's timing. God's purposes in this world, and we know this, are not yet realized. So we are in the season of waiting and of hope. Advent is a leap into a kind of freedom and surrender that can rightly be called the virtue of hope. It's the patient acceptance that willingly lives without closure, without resolution, and yet still be content and even happy because we have given over our desire to see things happen in our time and in our way. And so we can become patient, content, even in waiting. We're not in a rush to see things move any faster than they are. We will leave things to God. And we know that God's working is not our way. This kind of waiting happens frequently in our lives. All creation is set up to teach us how to hope. Reality is not yet as we would have it to be. We have to live in that attitude of hope, to be patient, to wait on God. And there is a freedom in letting that go, in surrendering to God what God will do in God's time, not forcing anything. We have, quite frankly, a lot of opportunities to practice this. And there was one example that I thought of right away this week when I thought of this idea of waiting and preparing. And I'm not going to share that with you. I've asked Jody to share it with us today. An example in not only her life, but from our life and the life of this community.
A little tag team sermon this morning. So as many of you know, I work as a registered nurse in the hospital on a labor and delivery unit. Working there gives me plenty of opportunities to consider and witness waiting and hope. I see many, many people day in and day out that are waiting the long 9-month period of gestation until that day that their baby is finally born. These people come to our unit through their pregnancy for various health reasons, and we see the different stages of waiting and hoping that evolves through a pregnancy. There is a lot of anticipation, expectation, joy, frustration, imagining, discomfort, and hope that comes with a 9-month wait for a baby. 9 months is a long time to wait, especially when you're pregnant, and a lot of you women can attest to that. Guess what our congregation did 9 months ago? January 31st, 2016, our congregation voted yes to sponsoring a displaced Syrian family to come to Canada. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October to November, 9 months. And this past week, I found out our due date. The date when our family is slated to arrive in Canada, God willing and the Canadian government willing, is December 8th. 9 months of gestation. But during that time, we haven't just sat stagnantly waiting, have we? We haven't been just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. No. We've raised thousands of dollars with the help of DeWinton, Red Deer Lake United, and Diamond Valley Pastoral Church to support our family for 1 year in Canada. We've applied through the Mennonite Central Committee, and we were matched with a family in need of sponsorship from Syria. We cleaned, updated, and furnished the apartment upstairs to get ready for our family. We worked on community links and resources and liaisons to support them and other Syrian families when they get here, when they come to Okotoks and the Foothills area. We made a budget. We gathered volunteers for various tasks. I made 10,000 lists. We had lots and lots and lots of meetings, etc., etc. For 9 months, we have been waiting and hoping. And we've been preparing the way while we wait and hope. Until recently, we didn't have any contact with our sponsored Syrian family, and we had no timeline of when we would be expecting them, little idea of who they were and what they would be like, and no updates as time went on. Many of you would come to me every few weeks and say, "When are they coming? When are they coming? When are they coming? Do we have any news?" And I would have to say, "I don't know. I don't know." This is part of our waiting and learning patience. This is part of God's time. That was where the hope came into play. We prayed for this family. We hoped that they were safe. We hoped that they would be able to come to Canada without bureaucratic delay. We hoped that their transitions would be smooth ones. We waited, and we hoped. November 7th, via telephone, we were finally able to make contact with our Syrian family. This was such an exciting event for me and for many of us after so much waiting, so much anticipation and unknowing. That week, I was so excited. I went to work wanting to share my excitement with anyone who was willing to listen to me. There's a doctor that I work with at the hospital. She's someone who's been really interested and really supportive of this effort to sponsor a family. In fact, she and her family made a generous donation to this cause. I've updated her on whatever I knew as I found things out, what little it was. The week that I made contact with our Syrian family, I found her at work, and I told her about it, and I showed her the pictures that I had. And I said, "The gestation is over. We're going into labor now." She delivers babies. She understands. She said, "Get ready to push soon." That's kind of what it is like for us now. We've been gestating, waiting, hoping, anticipating, praying, and preparing. Now comes the labor time, which, if you've ever been in labor or witnessed someone in labor, you know is also a time of waiting. Very active waiting, working, anticipating, and preparing. Then the push will come. The push of Advent and Christmas, the push of having a family new to Canada arrive and need all kinds of help and love and partnership with us. The birth of something new for us, for them, and for the world. I'm going to go off script for a minute. Last night, after I had finished writing this up, I was chatting online with a friend of mine who lives in Palestine. She works for a partner organization with the United Nations. And I was telling her about her family and how the date that they're supposed to be coming is December 8th. And she was very excited. She also helped contribute to the fundraising for this project from Palestine. She's Canadian, and she wanted to be part of a Canadian effort, so she helped contribute. I was asking her how things were in Palestine, because as we know, it's a tumultuous area of the world. I said, same stuff, different pile. And she said, yep. I said, I saw an article online recently about a children's hospital in Syria that was bombed 10 days ago. 11 people were killed in that bombing in Aleppo, Syria. I think it was 8 of them children and 5 of them healthcare workers, innocent lives. I said, sometimes it's very hard to not feel discouraged about the world, to not feel like there's no progress and no hope. And she said, during the 1999, I believe, speech that was given by someone from Doctors Without Borders, Medecins Sans Frontières, in accepting the Nobel Peace Prize for their work in peace and medicine, they said, healing the world one bandage at a time. And I said, that's how I feel about our family from Syria, helping to heal the world one family at a time, one child at a time. In Advent, we actively, not passively, wait. We prepare, we hope. It is time to get ready.
We try to rush through Advent. We try to make Christmas come faster. It won't anyway. Advent is a time, many churches do not practice the season of Advent. We do. It's a time of pregnant expectation. It's a time of creating hearts that are open and ready for this baby. So we need to slow down, be patient, trust in God's timing and hope, to believe that the light is coming, because we are a people of faith living really without certainty. But we prepare, and our hearts will be ready. Last week, some of you decorated Advent boxes. I didn't. I had help. Somebody did mine for me, which is lovely. I think Layla was one, and Ellie and Carol did these for me. If you didn't get a chance, in fact, to decorate an Advent box, there's more craft supplies in the chapel. You can make one today if you like. We're asking that you do one.